This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Welcome to another week of the Max Destruction Podcast. I am Ken, of course, and with me is the Macho Camacho himself, Scotty. How you doing, buddy?
Macho.
That's right, folks. That's the shout out to the greatest episode of this podcast. Of course, that was Nacho Libre versus Frank Dukes, which we all know Nacho was robbed. It's all about will and having the greatest heart. We all know it. And unfortunately for our data set, it doesn't know it, but you know, that's okay. That's all right. Folks, we're going to go ahead and start off this episode now a little bit somberly. Of course, we lost one of the greatest character actors in cinema, this weekend, of course, Carl Weathers. You can't not remember him as Apollo Creed. He was Dylan in Predator, you know, probably one of the greatest memeable, you know, and gifable action sequences when him and Arnold do the whole arm wrestling bicep curl thing where they're both just gigantic. He was an incredible dude. I had the pleasure of meeting him at a Comic-Con a couple of years ago. Just super gracious guy, you know. Took time with all of his fans, you know, all the way back to the early 70s, you know, Action Jackson himself, you know, and then Mandalorian, you know, being in the Mando universe, and taking time to mentor actors. You know, I actually read Gina Carano's post on his passing yesterday, and she talked about that she was super nervous being a part of that series. Carl Weathers was actually chosen to direct that episode, specifically because Jon Favreau knew that they would click over the fact that they were both athletes before they were movie and TV stars. You know, Carl Weathers, of course, was in the NFL. Like, everybody forgets that the dude was a straight up beast for the Oakland Raiders before he actually made the transition into film. And, you know, reading her post and the posts of everybody, Adam Sandler, of course, you know, just an incredible dude. And I wanted to give a minute to, you know, hey, we appreciate you, Carl. You know, we know you're in a better place now, and RIP. Scotty, do you have anything you want to put out?
The amazing range that guy had. I mean, you went from action, Happy Gilmore, you know, you mentioned Adam Sandler. He did his comedic take was amazing. And then that was the first I've heard about him as being an athlete, because I only knew him from Predator and Action Jackson. So that's arguably he's the most successful athlete to transition from athlete to acting role. So rest in paradise.
Definitely, dude. You just count off the list from everybody afterwards. And Jesse Ventura, also in Predator, but started in wrestling. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson started as a wrestler and then transitioned to films. John Cena, you know, it's endless. Bill Goldberg started as a football player, and then he became a wrestler, and then he got into film a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it started with people like Carl Weathers that, you know, all those guys were able to make the jump. And I know he's lost, you know, to us for this year, you know, this world, but yeah, you know, we'll see him again, I'm sure. Yep, they're, you know, being a badass, you know, doing what he does. So, all right. So with that somber note kind of out of the way, let's go ahead and pick up our spirits a little bit by knocking out last week's Wham.
Wham.
Of course, folks, it was actually brought up to my attention in my Instagram post that I guess I lost an opportunity that thankfully Scotty picked up by calling this the Wampa Wham. Of course, we did the Space Ice Wampa from Empire Strikes Back as our character from Wham. a lot of great answers. I'm going to read Instagrams and Sky is going to read the Facebook. So Joe Garcia dropped the graboid from Tremors. I think that'd be a little unfair, but all right. I'm it. Starosky dropped Papa Ginu from Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny. Zach Berna from Senjo World dropped Fluffy the Crate Beast. Looks like Starosky or Dean dropped Harry and the Henderson Sasquatch, also Kangaroo Jack, and the Jack Link Squatch. Calvin Barr, who is Sam Elliott, which automatically means he's going to win because it's Sam Elliott. Zach also dropped Sully from Monsters, Inc. And then the Kothuga. I have no idea who that is, but sounds great. Scott, did I miss anything?
No, that's pretty much we got the same answers. And my twin brother even put in there Harry and the Hendersons too.
Yeah, so definitely the most popular matchup, and I think probably the greatest matchup. Fun fact, we were kind of hitting on Carl Weathers and Predator a little bit. The actor who played Harry in Harry the Hendersons was the same actor who was Predator in 1987's Predator. Badass actor himself, 7 foot like three, which was ridiculous back in the day. You know, there weren't even pro wrestlers at that time that were that height. Andre the Giant, I don't even think was 7'3". It's ridiculous. But of course, we could not do this podcast without our third co-host, Francis. Why don't you go ahead and slide into the pod?
On Max Destruction, the hosts use a semi-idiotic method called the Tale of the Cocoa Butter as a clever device to provide character backstories, much like Rogan does at the UFC. The hosts go through their respective characters' backgrounds, abilities and equipment to provide the best possible description for the listeners. If these guys were to just use your run-of-the-mill standards, they couldn't really claim to be an action character podcast, could they?
And Scotty's second requested matchup was the one we knocked out next. And Scotty, I know you were chomping at the bit. Why don't you explain to our listeners who it is that we are going to be fighting this week?
Keeping with the law enforcement theme so far, I am going to pick RoboCop.
Right. So the gauntlet was set down to come up with law enforcement, you know, fights. And I could not have thought of a better option of cop on cop crime than the RoboCop versus the Wolf Cop. And if you are anywhere near a B-rated horror movie aficionado in the vein of Sharktopus and Kung Fury, then you know Wolf Cop. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we drop in the tale of the Cocoa Butter.
On Max Destruction, the hosts use a semi-idiotic method called the Tale of the Cocoa Butter as a clever device to provide character backstories, much like Rogan does at the UFC. The hosts go through their respective characters' backgrounds, abilities, and equipment to provide the best possible description for the listeners. If these guys were to just use your run-of-the-mill standards, they couldn't really claim to be an action character podcast, could they?
All right, Scotty, why don't you go ahead and drop the science on RoboCop?
RoboCop. To talk about RoboCop, we got to talk about the company, OCP, Omni Consumer Products. For today's standards, probably Amazon, has taken over most of Detroit City in hopes to become the new Delta City. However, crime needs to be taken under control, i.e. comes in the Enforcement Droid Series 209, commonly known as Ed 209. Yet, there was problems with going down the stairs and, for some reason, the robot crying. So, we got RoboCop. RoboCop is a prototype cyborg made from the living tissue of Officer Alex Murphy. Murphy was gunned down by a crime boss, Clarence Bodiger, only to be picked up by OCP vice president and father of RoboCop, Bob Morton. Living by only his three directives, or is it four? Wink, wink. And baby food, RoboCop, having gained some of his memories, proceeds to solve his murder following the corruption from Clarence Boddicker all the way up to the company that built him, killing the senior vice president, Dick Jones. And then we segue into RoboCop 2. The police force is on strike now. There is a drug lord, Kane, and his new narcotic, Nuke, taking over the streets. Murphy, having tracked down Kane to his hideout, gets captured and is dismantled by the group. Where then Humpty is put back together by a lady psychologist and given feelings. Adding to his directives going from three all the way up to God knows what number that was. After a series of events, Robo zaps his mind to clear him of all directives and gets the cops back into work. They take down the drug reign of Kane. Copyright that. That until the lady psychologist is convincing the OCP to take the drug lord's brain and throw it into a super robot, RoboCop 2. At the reveal of Delta City, Robo goes toe-to-toe with Robo Kane. And then the two have an epic brawl out in the streets in front of the newly built building. After a quick distraction from Lois, Robo rips Kane's brain out of the super robot and smashes it on the street. Now we go into RoboCop 3. You know what? Fuck RoboCop 3. Why? The only thing that came out of RoboCop 3 was he had an awesome machine gun attached to his arm and a jetpack. And then they decided to add Robo Ninjas. I'm going to leave it there with RoboCop 3. Weapons-wise, he has a Cobra Assault Cannon, aka state-of-the-art Bang Bang, according to Clarence Boddicker. An Auto 9, which I guess is a Beretta M93R. Ken, I'll use you to confirm your gun nut. All right. And then his arm gun is a Calico M95O machine gun with a flamethrower and a small missile. His capabilities, he is able to withstand most of small fire, but I would say he's probably limited to depending on the round with 5.56s, just because that scene in the first one where he's in the garage and the SWAT team attacks him, they were able to put him down with the small on fire. So either they were using armor-piercing rounds or something, but they were able to do it with rifle fire. But he is able to withstand a super punch from RoboCop 2 and a arm cannon shot at him, essentially making him a walking tank. However, although he's given the state-of-the-art best reflexes in technology, he is extremely slow. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is RoboCop.
I think you're also missing that he, in fact, came to Sting's defense during a WCW pay-per-view.
Oh, shit.
Breaking him out of a prison cell. And this is before Sting was crow-faced. He was wearing his American flag makeup. So also useless, as always, Scotty. You hit on all the main points, but you didn't hit the most important, was saving Sting from certain death.
I mean, there was a TV show too, but...
You know what? And I actually been playing the video game. Rogue City.
I was just about to ask about that. I really want to try the video game.
It is so bad it's good. I will say that. Like, the gameplay, you can definitely tell that they spent all their money just getting Frank Welker to come back to do the voice, which is incredible to hear. But the gameplay itself, leaves a lot to be desired. And I'll leave it right there. Maybe our video game.
Mortal Kombat?
Yes, not great. It's kind of like playing Omni-Man or anybody else like that in the Mortal Kombat games. It's like, oh, this is cute, but I can play as Scorpion or Sub-Zero and just totally wreck shop. Speaking of wrecking shop, who's going to be wrecking shop in this fight, you ask? Well, another cop. Another super cop, maybe named Wolf Cop. Lugero, which is Lugaru, which is French for the werewolf, an alcoholic cop in a small community of Woodhaven, spends most of his day either asleep at work or at Jessica's bar. When his friend, Willie Higgins, phones in a complaint of occult activity in his area of his gun store, the police chief sends Guru to investigate. After meeting with Higgins, Guru dismisses his concerns as the actions of the heavy metal fans. Higgins again reports the disturbance, and the chief forces Guru to investigate. When he arrives at the scene, Guru finds the occultist in the middle of a ceremony to sacrifice an upstart politician who is running on the platform of reform and anti-corruption. Well, definitely can't have that. Guru is knocked out and wakes up the next morning in his bed, not remembering how he got there, though he has a pentagram carved into his stomach. Guru's senses become extremely sharp, and his wounds heal in near instantly. As he investigates the case, he surprises Jessica and his co-workers, all of whom who has written him off as lazy and incompetent. As he goes over his notes at Jessica's bar, she encourages him to drink more and invites him to join her privately. Before he can, two criminals, part of a local gang, sneak into the bar and attack him in the bathroom. Guru, who's in the middle of a transformation into a werewolf, easily kills one of them and drives off the other. Angry that they did not kidnap Guru, the gang leader stabs out the eye of the escaped gangster when he claims that he had seen Guru transform into a monster. Meanwhile, Guru ends up at Higgins' house, handcuffed to the bed. Higgins explains that he captured Guru and restrained him only for his own safety. Higgins later researches his condition, and then they learn that the occult ceremonies in which a werewolf is sacrificed can strengthen the magic of reptilian shapeshifters. Up to this point, nobody has any idea what's going on, and that is the greatest part of this entire movie. Guru and his partner Tina investigate the deaths at the bar and series of seemingly unrelated armed robberies by a gang who wears pig masks. Higgins convinces Guru that he must be restrained at night, and Guru submits to being locked in the town's jail. However, when the police station receives a call for help, Guru, who has since transformed into a werewolf but has retained his human intelligence, dons his policeman's uniform and heads to a local supermarket where the pig mask gang have taken hostages. Guru savagely kills all of the pig mask robbers and heads towards a meth lab, because of course he did. Higgins cowers into the car as Guru again savagely kills several gun-wielding gangsters. When they return to the police station, Jessica seduces Guru while he is in his werewolf form. Again, B-rated movie. Only to reveal that she is too a shapeshifter, but a shapeshifting reptilian and also the town's elderly mayor. Higgins also reveals himself to be a shapeshifter and theorizes that Guru's alcoholism has made him stronger than their previous victims, all of whom who they were able to control. Guru is drugged and brought into the second ceremony, where he's to be sacrificed during an eclipse so that the town's ruling elite, all of whom are reptilian shapeshifters, can continue to hide their true identity and rule indefinitely. Tina arrives and confronts the police chief, who shapeshifts into the gang's leader, and Higgins, Tina, and Guru kill Higgins, Jessica, and the gang members, but the chief surprises them with a sneak attack. Weakened by the approaching eclipse, Guru is wounded when shot by the chief, but he realizes that alcohol is his source of his enhanced power. As Guru consumes a flask of alcohol, Tina impales the police chief on a sword. He then takes it out and uses it to stab her. Before he can finish her off, though, Guru shoots and kills the police chief. Guru and Tina limp off together, and Guru promises to drop her off at the hospital after he gets another drink. And that was the first Wolf Cop, because of course there is. And the second Wolf Cop, titled Another Wolf Cop, Lugaru continues his fight as Wolf Cop, much to the annoyance of Chief Sheriff Tina Walsh. Entrepreneur Sydney Swallows is investing in the town of Woodhaven and promises to transform the local economy with the launch of a new hockey stadium and brewery. Willie Higgins appears and believes he was abducted and probed by aliens. That is about as much as I would go into for the second Wolf Cop. Funnily enough, at the end of another Wolf Cop, Wolf Cop 3 Returns is actually shown at the end, because why not? I mean, you gotta have the best of the new thing. Sharknado had like 7 of them, so why wouldn't there be another Wolf Cop? As far as powers, abilities, and equipment, Wolf Cop is only strengthened by his insatiable need for blood and booze. So Lou Garou is at peak human physical conditioning to include almost near instantaneous healing factor, but only after he imbibes copious amounts of alcohol, talons that can shred steel, and he is equipped with a 44 Magnum Smith & Wesson model 17 with a 14-inch barrel and a laser sight because he's Wolf Cop. Scotty, I know RoboCop is a badass, and we all dreamed of having his badass like leg holster thing that went into our legs, but I don't think he is on Wolf Cop's level.
Well, I mean a Ferrari is not on a tank's level either.
Hey, that's fair, but this Ferrari has claws. Yeah, that didn't work because it's a horse. Regardless, Scotty, I think we should let Francis explain how it is we actually get to these fights. Francis?
The hosts believed that the next best thing to creating an irrefutable method to decide things like a coin flip would be hacking into AJ9K, the AI that those dynamic dual fools, upstanding gentlemen use. Once hacked, the guys input statistics for the subjects of this week's fight, including strength, fighting style, and most importantly, humor. The stats are then compared 1,000 times, presenting a final result to determine the ultimate victor. To avoid boring your ears off with a numbers game, the hosts have elected to present a speculation on how one of the fights might play out, for your listening pleasure. Despite my best efforts, it seems that every speculation manages to occur within the vicinity of the safe house that I find my way to. Fortunately, the environment isn't relevant to the simulations. I mean, fortunate for them and you. It sucks for me.
Thank you, Francis. As always, you are curt and understanding of the sadness that is our podcast. All right, Scotty. Where do you feel like these two would meet, and how do you feel like this would actually end?
I'm going to say just a simple alley. Just a simple dark alley.
It may be like nuke signs like or something all over?
Gotham Crime City, Crimes Alley. That scenario right there.
I'm with it. Like I said, I think we should add like neon nuke signs, like from, you know, RoboCop 2. And then just a really shitty Irish pub, like at the end of it, you know, that like Wolf Cop just kind of stumbles out of.
Yep, he's just walking out of there.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. So, and I'll set the scene up because I kind of feel like I know where this would go. So Wolf Cop would stumble out of this, you know, Irish pub, fully transformed, but looking really disheveled in his police officer's uniform. And he's holding just this bottle of Irish whiskey. And he's stumbling and kind of mumbling, but, it's a growl and stuff. RoboCop's not going to like this. This is drunk and disorderly and also just conduct unbecoming a fellow police officer. So I feel
especially
like RoboCop.
A canine unit.
Oh, I see what you did there, canine unit. All right. So that's the scene. Scotty, go ahead and take us in.
All right. Well, as RoboCop reads him the riot act because, you know, public intoxication, he would have to come in for questioning. He slowly stomps his way towards Wolf Cop and says, "Your move, creep." Brings out his gun because he already sees him in wolf form and holds him up.
So I think it's interesting that he would be like reading the riot act, because I'm picturing definitely peak RoboCop 2, where he's like trying to tell the kids like it's bad to be bad and you should be good. Like that's kind of how I'm seeing this kind of play out, because Wolf Cop could give two shits less. You know,
bad language makes bad feelings.
That's it.
Not that RoboCop. He zapped that cleared.
which in case Wolf Cop would likely be like, F you, dude. And then as he sees RoboCop drawing his gun, he's like, oh, that's really cool. And he'd burp. But as he's burping, he's going to launch himself like a wolf would right into RoboCop's chest, like knocking him over. And then he's going to bound forward, like kind of in a roll to get back up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we've seen this guy take a hit to the chest. I mean, why are you making me go back to RoboCop 3? I mean, the Robo Ninja kicked him in the chest and knocked him on his ass. He still got up. But so RoboCop is going to sit up. He's going to take in his surroundings. He's going to put up a grid. And so now he's trying to anticipate Wolfie's movements. So as he gets onto both feet, Wolfie's going to come in again. RoboCop is going to do a quick spin, because at least that's what moves fast, is him able to spin around real quick. And he's going to do a hard backhand clothesline to Wolf Cop, sending him into the trash cans in the alley.
So Wolf Cop's probably going to be very dazed about this. You know, he's definitely going to take the hit. He's a werewolf, but he's a drunk werewolf. So, you know, his agility may just be slightly hampered. Right, so he's going to hit these trash cans, and as he kind of rolls up, he's going to mutter like, "I'd buy that for a dollar." And then he's like, "Screw this like fighting thing," and he's going to draw his 44 mag, and then he's going to aim right at RoboCop's shit eating face, and just start squeezing off rounds as his laser sight's pointing right at RoboCop's head.
Now, they've all shot different weapons at RoboCop, and the only thing that's not covered is his mouth, and yet that still stays intact. So I'm going to say that the rounds do nothing to shooting him even point blank in the face. RoboCop is going to counter with a punch straight to his snout. However, Wolfie's going to stop his arm, but then RoboCop is going to pop out that little spike, his little USB spike, poking it just right at the eye of the Wolf Cop, giving him a little bit of disorientation and blinding him for a second. Then RoboCop is going to walk back to the car as Wolfie tries to heal, and he's going to pull out the Cobra Cannon, and he's going to set it up with the tripod, take aim, and fires it right at Wolfie's feet.
So, nice move, by the way, by the USB spike. And, like, I don't remember the first time I pulled out a USB drive and thought maybe this should be a 12-inch steel spike that I plug into a computer. But I really wish I had. And honestly, I think that's what the way we should have gone with it. I think there'd be less computer nerds if it was that, right? So, back to our point, you know, Wolfie's going to heal up pretty fast. And as the round comes at him from the Cobra Cannon, he's going to jump at the absolute last minute, right? And he's going to use the propellant of like that explosive round to just fly up to the building, in which case he's going to just start pouncing back and forth faster than RoboCop can track. You know, even as RoboCop is fast, he can't maneuver his body that fast. Like, he can see it, but we all know, you know, he's not exactly the most nimble of creatures. So as RoboCop's trying to track him, you know, Wolf Cop's going to bound off a building like Spider-Man style and fly directly at Wolf Cop, you know, or at RoboCop rather, adjusting his trajectory at the last minute to shear off the barrel of the Cobra assault rifle with his claws, and then he's going to land right beside RoboCop and just start slashing at him, you know, taking off bits of steel as he goes.
Mm-hmm. So as Wolf Cop lands on him. All right, we're taking off metal. He just so happens to remove RoboCop's left arm. Or is it right? Right arm. Removes the right arm. Luckily, RoboCop gives a good shove, shoving the Wolf Cop to the wall, knocking him in the trash cans again. And then he goes into his trunk and hooks on his machine gun arm. As he approaches Wolf Cop, he again says, "Dead or alive, you're coming with me." Wolf Cop pounces at him once again. RoboCop catches him with the open left hand. There just so happens to be a coffee table that someone put out on a trash can. RoboCop is going to choke slam his ass right into that coffee table, shattering the pieces all over the place, and is going to take aim with his machine gun and start letting off rounds.
Well, I was going to say there's an obscene amount of trash cans for this alley, you know, but I kind of see it. But a well-placed coffee table is always useful. I mean, it's a really shitty area of town, so somebody's probably throwing it away, and it might be pristine, but definitely not for long. You know, as Wolf Cop's body gets chucked right through it, you know, he's going to hit the ground with an oof, you know, audibly as the air is taken out of it. And he's probably going to take two or three rounds of this machine gun fire, you know, wounding him. He's going to let out a yip, right? Like, you know, like a puppy that's in trouble. See what you did? You hurt a puppy. And that's wrong. I don't even care if you're a RoboCop. So Wolf Cop is going to like roll out, you know, trying to find cover. He's going to get underneath the car, you know, and allow himself a quick second to heal, you know, as RoboCop is trying to locate him. As he's doing this, as he rolls by, he's going to slash at the fuel tank of the car. And as he gets up, he is going to smile at RoboCop as RoboCop, you know, trains his machine gun arm at him, and he's going to flick a match with his claw and just let it drop and watch as the explosion takes RoboCop and just destroys him, ending this match.
Well, we know that does not happen. I mean, the freaking gas station blew up and RoboCop walks right out. So Wolf Cop, thinking that he won this match, hears a jet flying in right behind him. All of a sudden, RoboCop's attachments attached to his back. Now he has his jetpack on. RoboCop is now matched to Wolf Cop for speed. So he starts to hover and is taking off back and forth in the alley, putting down machine gun fire, ending it with his small missile right at Wolf Cop, destroying most of the alley.
Well, I think that is a great place to end it. So either the explosion plus all the slashes that, you know, Wolf Cop threw on him, you know, took RoboCop out, or cheating bastard who has to have a jetpack and a machine gun arm in order to win this match is the victor. And with that, why don't we go to Francis for our destruction spectrum. Francis?
It's time for the destruction spectrum, or as I like to call it, collateral damage. That makes just a modicum of sense. Here, the hosts take the character's destruction potential and rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. To put it bluntly, it's how much collateral damage they can cause before the National Guard has to step in, be it a barroom brawl or a world-ending nuclear holocaust. The hosts will persevere and provide you with this valuable information because, let's face it, this is why you're here.
All right, Scott. With all of his toys, how do you feel like the destruction spectrum would rate these two fighting?
I am just based off even RoboCop's arsenal with just everything I added on there. And just, it's going to be a 4. I'd say a solid 4 on both ends. With the damage that Wolf Cop can do, just being a werewolf, and then the arsenal RoboCop's coming in, it's destruction wherever they're going to be at.
You know, I'm probably more a 3.5. And the only reason why I do that is, yes, the potential is there for RoboCop to just lay waste. He is still bound and, as a good guy, probably would not allow a ton of collateral damage. you know, it would take Wolf Cop really ratcheting it up. So I, you know, I don't disagree with the potential. Potential is definitely there for both of these characters to just go ham in, say, a Deli. But I do think that the goodness of both characters, well, Wolf Cop is really not that good of a human being, but as a police officer, you kind of hope that they're looking at collateral damage that way, that they would do so better.
I see what you're saying. I can get on board with that. But you, have you watched the RoboCop movies?
I have.
Auto damage?
I mean,
he's taking out buildings.
One, he only blew up a gas station, and he didn't do that. It was the guy on the motorcycle that did that.
True.
And two, he just used a truck that then killed Kane-ish to destroy things. Three, we don't talk about, right? No, which is why I don't even know why we're going with the jetpack and the machine gun getting on. But you know what? That's fine. We'll go with it. All right, Scott. Even with his bag of tricks, how confident do you feel about RoboCop and Wolf Cop in 1,000 matches?
I would give Wolf Cop speed. I know that. Speed. However, I think RoboCop probably would have him on everything else. So I'm still siding with RoboCop.
Well, I mean, bias is inherent, which is why we use science to lay waste. So the winner of this week's match between the cops, one of the Robo variety, the other of the Wolf variety, is RoboCop. At 54.8% to Wolf Cop's 45.2%. I'm going to be honest with you, Scotty. This is way closer than I thought. I honestly felt like RoboCop was going to wipe the floor with Wolf Cop. Just looking at the stat breakdown, you were definitely correct. Movement speed and evasiveness, Wolf Cop really had it. But as far as everything else, I mean, they were pretty well matched up in strength. Robo had damage level and durability. As far as fighting skill, we made them pretty equal. Wolf Cop is a wolf, but he doesn't really have any fighting skill. Mm-hmm. RoboCop is not fast enough to really lay any kind of waste. But really what it came down for this match, strategic intelligence really kind of lent RoboCop. Just the simple fact that he has all the data banks and he was a way better cop than Wolf Cop was before he was actually a wolf. So for this match, my friend, good on you. Good work. And I am super excited to see what happens next. And that is a good tease for next week's Wham.
Wham.
All right, Scott, who you got?
Ken, I got a good one for you. This is going to be an oldie, though. I mean, we're going back in time.
Way back.
We're talking BC time right now. I'm talking the movie Cavemen, and I'm talking Tonda.
That is way back. so I am very excited to see what our viewers and listeners have for that. Of course, you guys can come up on our Instagram and our Facebooks and drop your weekly audience matchup for Tonda the Caveman. All right, Scott. So the following week is Valentine's Day week. So unfortunately for you and me, that means you're not going to be my co-host next week. Special surprise. My wife is actually going to be the co-host for Max Destruction that week. But friends, do not stress. The Scotty Camacho will return for the next week, which I'll go ahead and drop right now just so Scotty can start getting ready for his pick. That would be Colt from the Three Ninjas versus Johnny from Surf Ninjas. That's right. A ninja-related episode going along with the B-rated style everybody who grew up in our generation has watched both of these films. I guarantee it.
But he knows spinning Tarzan jiu-jitsu.
And Rocky loves Emily. So, Scott, I feel like it's you're still new enough. I'm going to give you the option of who you would like to fight in this match.
Oh, man. Oh, man, I love both of them. My winner pick, they were already predicting it, winner, I'm going to go with Surf Ninja, Johnny.
Ernie Reyes Jr., nicely done. And I can't wait for you to rep that. And as usual, you're wrong, except for this week, of course. Colt from the Three Ninjas will prevail, but you will have to wait for that for a couple of weeks, friends. As next week, of course, is Valentine's Day week, my wife and I will be repping Hollywood from Cool World versus Lisa from Weird Science. So I couldn't really think of two better to go off of, and I can't wait to see
good
what
ones.
A train wreck that's going to be. For those of you that are still in this to win this, definitely do something for your wives, your significant others. They might say that they don't want anything, but it's a lie. Everybody knows it's a lie, and it should be a stereotype by now. But go get your significant other something. I think that's what's going to do it. Scotty, you got anything to drop?
Yeah, you just reminded me I have to go do something.
See, that's what we're here for, folks. All right, guys,
doesn't listen to this, right?
And my wife only listens when my kids want to, which is amazingly more than they probably should. They don't like to listen to me in real life, but love to listen to the podcast. Make sense of that. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Yep, and I'll see you a week after that, I guess.
All right, guys.